Okay, good morning. If you turn to John chapter 21, in the red books it's 1090, and this is the passage we're going to be looking into. As Rob says, we've been doing a series of Rooted in Community, and the kind of theme is community of love today, and the passage we're going to be looking at is John chapter 21, verse 15 to 17. So I'm going to be sort of maybe taking two slants of this. I'll be first of all looking at what we can learn as individuals, first of all, about how the interaction between Peter and Jesus got on, and also then as a community what we can learn. And it'll kind of build upon that. So I will just read from verse 1 of chapter 21 just to give a little context of what's happening. It's the very last chapter, as you can see in John chapter 20, the very last chapter, of the Gospel of John, and Jesus is risen from the dead, and he's beginning to see disciples, beginning to make visitations, and this is sort of the last part in John's Gospel of how Jesus met with Peter once again. So verse 41. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon, Peter, Thomas, Nathanael from Cana and Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them, and they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He cried out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll find some." When they did, they were unable to hold the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say this, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish in it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and did the same with the fish. This is now the third time Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." So this passage, as we see here, even in the red Bibles, it talks about Jesus reinstating Peter. And Peter at this stage, I really believe he was questioning his ability to follow Jesus. He was questioning, did he have what it takes to be a Christian? Did he have what it takes to be a disciple of Jesus? If we remember, you don't have to look, we probably remember, but just a few days before, Peter denied Jesus three times. In Luke 22, verse 62, he says, "I don't know this person," and denied him three times. And so Peter was feeling, I'm not good enough. I'm just not good enough to follow Jesus. I've messed up big time. And we look as well, the start of chapter 21, Peter decided to go back to what he was used to. He decided to go back fishing. If we remember the very start of Peter's interaction with Jesus, Jesus called him out of being a fisherman into something new. But Peter, probably feeling he wasn't good enough to be a Christian anymore, not good enough to be a disciple, decided just to go back to what he thought he was good at. And even there, he'd caught nothing all night. Even the thing that he thought he was good at, he didn't catch anything. He was fishing all night with his disciples, with his friends, and caught nothing. And he was probably thinking, even the thing that I thought I was good at, I can't even do. I can't even follow Jesus. I can't even fish anymore. So this is the perspective that Peter had. This is what Peter was going through when he met Jesus, and when Jesus started to ask him, "Do you love me?" In a passage in John Ortberg's book, he talks about the perspective that maybe Peter had. And I just think this really sums up the up and down relationship that we all have with Jesus and that many failures we have. I just read this out. Peter made his famous confession that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus called him blessed and said this had been revealed to Peter by God himself, went on to explain that it was necessary for him to go to the cross. When Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him for this, Jesus told him that Peter was now speaking the words of Satan. I imagine Peter saying, "You're right about me. I speak impulsively. I'm always putting my foot in my mouth. Here's my resignation." And I imagine Jesus saying, "You must be joking. I'm just invested in revelation, you. I can't afford your resignation." On the Sea of Galilee, Peter hops out of a boat, begins to walk on the water, but he takes his eyes off Jesus. He's overwhelmed by fear and doubt and would have drowned had not Jesus bailed him out. Jesus diagnoses his problem acutely. "You have little faith." I imagine Peter saying, "You're right about me. I'm big on dramatic gestures, but I don't trust very well. Inside, I'm full of questions and fears. It doesn't take much of a storm to stop me. Here's my resignation." "You must be joking. I've just invested a miracle in you. I can't afford your resignation," says Jesus. Peter said, at the great crisis of Jesus' life, "I'll follow you no matter how much it costs, no matter what everyone else does." But he could not even follow for one night. He denied his best friend 3 times. I imagine saying, "You're right about me all along. I failed you most completely at your point of greatest need. I denied and abandoned you. Here's my resignation." And Jesus said, "You must be joking. I've just invested a resurrection in you. I can't afford your resignation." It says here, the church is a place for people who need do-overs, who need forgiveness, who need a second chance. And this is what God does. So really feel what we can learn today, what I feel Jesus is speaking to my heart and hopefully to ourselves, that Jesus is calling us to get back into the game. And he's saying that you are good enough. So this question, do you love me? Do you love me? It's a very challenging question. Jesus didn't ask you, doesn't ask Peter, you know, how many Bible verses do you know? How many times do you go to the synagogue? He's asking, do you love me? Do you love me? And I believe Peter does love Jesus. He says it. He appeals to Jesus himself. "Jesus, you know yourself, I love you." And a couple of things. You see, Jesus is not, it's about how we react when we fail. The way Peter reacted when he fell was very interesting. When he denied Jesus 3 times, his reaction was he wept bitterly. He wept bitterly. I believe if Peter didn't really love Jesus, he wouldn't have wept bitterly. His heart would have gone hard. He wouldn't have thought of a big deal and maybe just drifted off. The second thing I feel that Peter did love Jesus deep down was that when he saw Jesus, he ran to him. He says here, you know, when John says, "Look, I think that's Jesus." Peter, who had probably been working the nets all night, was probably quite hot, so he had his garments off, but it's a custom to greet someone with your garments on, so he flipped it back on, didn't really think again, just jumped into the water and met Jesus. He ran to him. There was something, Peter loved Jesus, even though he knew and I imagine Peter running up to Jesus and then suddenly realizing, "Oh no, the last time I saw Jesus personally was when I denied him, and now here I am again. Here's a fire again, the area where I denied Jesus. This is a bit awkward." And I think Jesus might have sensed it and just said, "I'll go back and help the guys with the fish." Okay. And so, do you love me? It's an interesting question. There's couple of words that Jesus uses here, agape and philio, and 2 words. And I read a lot about this, and there's a whole interesting things about the 2 different words that is used here. But really, I don't want to go into too much, but I just want to read out some of the definitions of what those words are to really get a sense of what love really is and what Jesus is getting at. Agape means to be fond of, to love dearly, to love, to be full of goodwill, to have a preference for, regard the welfare of, to take pleasure in the thing, prize it above other things, be unwilling to abandon it or do without it, a spontaneous feeling which impels to self-giving, the weak sense to be satisfied, to receive, to greet, to honor, or move, or more inwardly, to seek after, to have love for someone or something, based in sincere appreciation and high regard. And philio means this, the friendship, to be friendly to one, to tender affection, to love, to be friendly to one, to treat somebody as one's own people, to have love of affection for someone based on association, love and affection. So I really feel the 2 words kind of here was, do you love me in the great sense, but also are you fond of me, Peter? Are you fond of me? So the way I really feel how Jesus reinstates Peter, encourages Peter, is by not only forgiving him, but also by trusting him with his own, with his most precious thing. Jesus' most precious thing is us, his sheep. And he says, Peter, you look after them, you feed them. I think of a way I look at this is like if you were working for a boss and he gave you a great project to do and you messed up. And one boss might say, no, I forgive you, that's okay, but maybe it's not the best time for you to look after the project again, I'll give it to someone else. So you feel, yeah, he's forgiven me, that's okay, but Imagine another boss says, I forgive you, but look, let's try again. Get back and take over that project. You feel a lot more forgiven. You feel even a lot more reinstated. Your confidence is right there. See, I think Jesus is not just... The requirement to follow Jesus isn't perfection. The requirement to follow Jesus is our devotion. The requirement to follow Jesus isn't perfection. The Pharisees were really trying to be perfected, but it was our devotion to Jesus. But even the little grain of devotion that Peter had, he denied it, he messed up each time. He still had that brokenness when he sinned, and he still just ran to Jesus when he knew it. And Jesus knew this was enough. This was enough. So us too in our lives, I begin to think about this, that us too in our lives can deny Jesus at times. We can deny him in our lifestyle, we can deny him in our busyness, we can deny him, we can sort of deny him, take him away from our life. But the real issue is, how do we react when we realize we've denied Jesus in our lives, when we've forgotten about him? And I think really the call is for all of us as Christians is to, as Peter kept saying, I'm going to hand in my resignation, and Jesus keeps saying, no, just keep coming back to me, keep coming back to me. And this is what we need to do, is when we mess up, we need just to be broken like Peter was and to run to Jesus afresh. That's all he wants, just to be our devotion to him. And Jesus' reply to all of us is that we feel we mess up. I think the natural thing is when we mess up, when I mess up, is, oh, I'm not good enough. I'm not good enough to speak up front. I don't really feel anymore that's what I should do. But he's saying, no, Scott, you can still do that. I forgive you. Keep going. And that's really the call that Peter had. See, I think Peter's main difficulty was he had a lack of confidence in himself, and Jesus really wanted to reinstate his confidence. However, the church also needs to be a community of forgiveness, of encouraging one another to get back in the game. When we see each other mess up, we can say, that's okay, that's okay. And we seek forgiveness, we seek restoration, we get back into the game, getting back into following Jesus, get back into it. And Eugene Peterson, sort of reflecting on the whole idea of turning Christianity into an individual thing rather than into a communal thing, he said this: there can be no maturity in the spiritual life, no obedience in following Jesus, no wholeness in the Christian life apart from an immersion and embrace of community. I am not myself by myself. Community, not the highly vaunted individualism of our culture, is a setting in which Christ is at play. A nurturing love and community is about listing friendships, it's about understanding, it's about forgiveness of sins. So what can we learn as a community from Peter and Jesus' reaction? Well, the thing I kind of put here, the title is, we can all be a community of shepherds. Sometimes we feel that only Rob or John or those people are the real shepherds. They will look after us, they'll feed us, they'll protect us, they'll guide us. But the call is for all of us to be shepherds to one another. I think that some of the keys of a vibrant community church, of a church, is these two things that Jesus states here: devotion to Jesus and the ability to feed one another and to look after each other. Two key things, very simple. And I like this because sometimes I could just say, okay, we're called to be a community of love and that's it. But I like kind of using this metaphor of being a shepherd. What are some of the things that shepherds do to sheep? First of all, they feed them. Shepherds feed the sheep. We could all feed each other. We can all use our gifts to feed each other. Some of us can use hospitality. Some of us can actually physically feed each other. Some of us can send a text of encouragement. Some of us can give a scripture. But we can all, as a community, feed each other. We must not let it just be to one or two people. We all must feed each other. We all are spiritually hungry. And we all have the words of life, because his life, his spirit is in us. We can have words of life to give to people. So you ask ourselves, what can we? How can we feed each other? What are my gifts to feed people? It could be a hug, it could be a joke, it could be sharing our own experiences. Not only can we feed each other, we can also protect one another. And the biggest thing I think we can protect each other with is our prayers. We can all be shepherds to one another, we can all protect each other. And finally, another thing that we can do is we can guide each other. I think this is one of the harder ones I'd find, guiding each other. Like a shepherd with sheep are just sort of wandering off towards a cliff edge. The shepherd might just give the sheep a smack to bring them back over to their side. It might be a short bit of pain, but it's long term, it's good for the sheep. You know, we're told to speak truth and love. Maybe just times and places in the right relationships. Well, maybe we've done a bit more feeding and protecting, that people trust us. We can begin to sort of say, I don't think that's great. I don't think that's going to be helpful for you. I don't think that's hurting you and hurting other people. We must be more courageous in that as well, I think, as a community, because that's a real sign of love, the willingness to sacrifice what people might think of you in order to love that person and give them advice. So we can all be called a community of shepherds. We can feed each other, we can protect each other, and we can guide each other. I think the key things as well the key principles underlying that is, like a shepherd is two things. A shepherd is attentive. He's always watching what the sheep are doing. It's important for us to be attentive, not just in our own lives, in our own world, but be attentive to other people and situations. You can so get consumed with our own agenda, our own things, but be attentive to what's going on. Ask questions. Get in with people and communities. Find what's going on. And the other thing is be committed. We are a community to be called to be committed. Love is about commitment. Love is about commitment. So in summary, two things I really feel that the Lord is speaking to me and hopefully to our children is that we serve a God of the second chance. In fact, we serve a God more than the second chance. We serve a God who says his mercies are new every morning. So then when we deny him in whatever way that is, yes, we need to be broken about it because that's a sign of our love for him. Yes, we need to run to Jesus. And each morning we can say, your mercies are new every morning. And Jesus still calls me to feed his sheep. And the second thing is that not just one or two people are shepherds. We're all shepherds. And at times we're all sheep as well. So in good season, out of seasons, we're called to be shepherds and sheep, I guess. That maybe one time I'm out of a shepherd and I need a bit of guidance, I need a bit of feeding. And other times maybe all my options to be a shepherd, to feed and to guide. So I just pray for all of us now. Thanks for listening. Jesus, I'm just reminded at the start of the service that it was Peter who said, only you, Jesus, have the words of life. And Lord, I pray that when as we speak to each other, as we express our love to one another, that it would be words of life that we would give to people. It wouldn't be words of death and condemnation. I pray that your Holy Spirit would give words of life to each of us today as well in our spirits. That Peter must have felt such condemnation. I'm not good enough. I don't really love Jesus. And yet, Jesus, by you giving Peter responsibility, you showed your great love and forgiveness to Peter. I pray that your Spirit would give the words of life and life to each of us today. Thank you for your forgiveness. Thank you for your mercy. And help us to be a community of love, a community that's committed, and a community that's paying attention to one another. Amen.